All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, huh? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the time we had in praise and worship today. We could feel your presence, Lord, as the Holy Spirit gave us strength in our voices. The instruments brought glory to you, Lord. Now I ask, Lord, that you would enable me, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to share the message that's on my heart that you've placed there, Lord. And I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do it on my own, Lord. That you would just speak through me, Lord. Give something to the hearts of those who are listening, Lord. Exactly what they need. You know their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark 13:37. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. That's the title, watch. Watch. Watch out. Be on guard. Stay awake. That's the last word of that chapter, and it's just like, it should be in all caps. Watch. Watch, everyone. It's the very last word of the chapter as the Lord was describing the end of all things. And that watching and the warning is a consistent theme in Scripture. It's also found in Luke 21, 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That recurring theme of Scripture concerning the return of the Lord is to be ready. To be ready. When a military is not ready, they get surprised, ambushed. The Lord says to be ready. Why should we be preparing? Why should we be preparing our hearts? Because the world is racing towards the cliff. That's why. And it's at breakneck speed, folks. It's like a runaway freight train, right, Jeffrey? And some of the painful things to watch is like the answer is like, well, why? And when? And how? People ask those things, but they're readily available right here in Scripture. It's right there, folks. It's available to all who want to search. Yet few, even Christians, realize this, really for two reasons. First, most Christians are not studying to show themselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's no hunger there. Second, when it comes to prophetic awareness, watching, I think of even Revelation 3:3, in the church of Sardis, Jesus rebukes them, says, remember therefore how you received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. The church has failed to teach prophecy, for the most part. The church has failed to teach prophecy, to encourage the body to be ready, to eagerly be watching for Christ's return with faith in his prophetic promises, without resorting to being dogmatic about thus saith the Lord or date setting, like it's going to be next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. So we have to be careful, because I do believe there are those who cater to that genre, right, to sell books, to filthy lucre, to fill their wallets. But we can't be numb about the signs around us. And the problem is the church has been lulled to sleep by normalcy bias. That's what that is, normalcy bias. Second Peter talked about that when he talked about the scoffers, mockers. They say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That is called normalcy bias. Always been. So it's just a fable. That's the thought. And some pastors won't touch prophecy for fear of man. They don't want to upset the apple cart. They want to make sure that the giving comes in, that their salary is paid for. And that's a scary place to be. And there are others who certainly have opened the door with false teachings, false prophecy. And again, like I said, most of the time it's to benefit their wallet. But as watchmen and women, so I'll just say watchmen, okay? We'll be inclusive. With eyes wide open, we press on with full assurance and firm conviction. And so much more, right, as we see the day approaching. So much more as we see the day approaching. And as a church, our mission should be clear, and I believe it is clear here, share the gospel. Share the gospel. Share the good news with as many as possible while there are still a few fleeting moments left. I tried to do it on the plane ride down. My mom was listening to every word that was going on in the conversation to my buddy Kumar, who was sitting next to me. He heard the gospel. He didn't receive it, but he heard it. He heard the truth. I let him talk, tell me all about Hinduism and all these things. And but we see so many in the church getting tossed to and fro by divisive and false teachings, entrapped by cunningness of others for the sake of numbers. But we need to remain steadfast. That's something that you've heard from this pulpit numerous times, being steadfast. Under the trials, even as they increase, folks, even as they increase, and cling to the truth. And it's harder. It's harder to cling to the truth today. There's so much noise. So much noise. And regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the spiritual infidelity of others, stay in the press. You remember that message? Stay in the press. And I truly believe the signs are here. We're seeing the evidence. This is the final generation. And it's reaching the end, and I'm not date setting. But it's also to be utterly blind not to recognize that this is the season of the Lord's return. It's everywhere. It's not just one little thing. And this is great news for us, those who know Jesus. It's great news, right? But it's terrifying news for those who don't know him. And they don't even know it. So that's why you have to warn. I've said it numerous times. You might be the only Bible that someone ever sees. I wonder if when we get to heaven, I know the excitement, but also, how many of those that won't be there? Be looking around. To be left behind would be a scary thing. But as we draw near to the trumpet call, I think the world is increasingly looking like it's in shape for the tribulation, right? It's getting prepped for it as we see things prophetically line up. We see more and more of this, you know, the pestilence, the famines, rumors of wars, right? Geopolitically, you look at what's going on with Israel, you know, and you look at Iran and its nuclear capability. Boy, you really kind of see the Ezekiel 38 lining up in itself. And really where the point where the U.S. and the Israel have kind of like separated their ties. So really, when the Bible talks about like Israel's going to know that God alone is the one that saves them, seems to be lining up that way, doesn't it? We certainly could see lawlessness on the rise. We certainly see Romans 1 on that is like everywhere, particularly this month. And I think about these things, like why? How do we get here? the type of thinking that's justified, you know, drag queen story hours and all kinds of things. I saw that in the news today. Tennessee tried to block it. It got shut down. I don't even know where it gets justified to expose children to that kind of stuff. It's just messed up. And we are in a time of that which is called good is evil. Evil is good, right? And the world looks primed in every conceivable way, right, for what's ahead. Inflation is still not under control. Remember transitory? That was all last summer. It's transitory, right? It's not transitory. Now it's the soft landing. It's not going to be a soft landing. Global recession, I think you're seeing it now, but it's not here. It's imminent. There's a global liquidity crisis. I've read several articles about that. We know about CBDCs being rolled out this year. AI has certainly gone mainstream. And the mark of the beast technology is really here. Do you know that Neuralink got its permission from the FDA to do human trials? We're talking about putting brain chips, implants into people's brains. And part of the profession of Neuralink is that the lame will walk, the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, which is the same example of what Jesus said to tell John when John was like, are you the one or is there another? Tell John, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the blind see. Remember, Satan's a counterfeit. Yeah. Satan's a counterfeit. So if you didn't know that, you can certainly look it up. All really, like, this movement. I read something today where 13 other countries in Europe, I think, now have decided to really, like, clamp down on farming. Like, get rid of it completely. And these are things to make you aware, folks. This isn't like to be a Debbie Downer. You know, this is just the reality of the times when I say that, you know? So, because there are so many that just have their head in the sand. I love that picture. I see it all the time with the ostrich and its head in the sand. And that's not you. You're informed. Now, you do what you want with it. You take it. You want to don't receive it, then don't receive it. But I won't have blood on my hands. So if it hasn't hit you yet, we are in or at the door of end times. Yes, yes, we are in perilous times. And most don't want to hear that. But Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. When you're in a Romans 1 society, that society is under God's judgment. Do you understand that? And it's not popular. And when Jesus talked about all these things that we see in Matthew 24, he said those are the beginning of sorrows, right? Those birth pangs, right? And for you mommies, you get those really intense contractions, but then there's a little bit of a reprieve, and then they intensify, and they get bigger, and they build bigger, and they build bigger. So do you have discernment for the time? If you have discernment for the time, you should be watching for our Lord. You should be keeping your focus on him, because there are certainly plenty of distractions, right? Plenty. We are living in a time of division. We're losing a time where people lose hope because the leaders of this world. And my buddy Kumar on the plane, who's from India originally, came over here, immigrated. And he still has tons of family over there, but he affirmed everything we talked about. I said, you know, the world is craving leadership. And there's no single person yet appointed. I said, I know one's coming though. So we can look at the past and say, well, you know, some of these things have happened before, like the parallels of history. You know, say, hey, like World War II, those things. Israel wasn't a nation yet though, folks. So that happened after. Because I think people probably thought, like, wow, with Hitler and what he was doing and killing the Jews and all that, wow, you know, this guy's got to be definitely Antichrist. Certainly spirit of Antichrist, right? But Israel wasn't a country yet. So the fact that Israel became a country and they all came back to the land, that is a sign of the times. But that spirit of Antichrist, it's been here, but it's flourishing today. It's flourishing today. That's why you have a major corporation, you know, hiring a Satanist for clothes. So, what's the agenda of the world? With no country taking its reins, eventually, you know, global governance is the goal, right? With one at the helm, which is who? The Antichrist, right? First John said that, hey, it's the little children. It's the last hour. And as you've heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that is the last hour. See, the wicked have no idea what's going on, but believers who are studying and have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, they understand. And Daniel 12 says that. Daniel 12, 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. And it's tough, folks. Like, it's a time of gross deception. And that's the biggest sign. Take heed that no one deceives you, Jesus said. 2 Timothy, right? But people within the church turning their ears away from truth and pursue myths, pursue fables. The Spirit talks about a great apostasy, right? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no one deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The coming lawless one is the one working of Satan with all power, signs, lying, and wonders, and with all righteous undeception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, the last days, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. The enemy knows his time is short, and therefore he wants you to be distracted in the hour. Are you ready to meet the Lord? The world wants your focus away from God. It wants to erase God. And Jesus says, hey, focus on me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Does your inner man say, hey, Psalm 27, one thing I have desired, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. What did we just sing? There's purpose behind worship, folks. And to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. That rock, Jesus, right? If your house is built on the rock, when the storm comes, it won't crumble. It's a battle for the mind. It's a battle for the mind. And Satan would love to take control. So should we just allow ourselves to be stalked by the devil? Prowling around, right? As a roaring lion? Should we give up running our race of faith? No, 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 no. No. You're an overcomer. And you've heard this before. Esther, you were born for such a time as this. How privileged are you? Very privileged that the prophets wanted to see these days, that you get to live it out. Yeah, we get to see. Yeah, we get. Wouldn't it be awesome to see all the Old Testament saints and all the disciples and talk about that? But then I think they're going to be just as eagerly excited to ask you, hey, what was that like? What was that like being in those moments when it was like Sodom and Gomorrah all around you? What was it like living in that society? What was it like to swim against the current? What was it like to speak the truth even when you were defamed and people didn't want you and you were marginalized? What was that like? Did you sing for joy like Peter did afterwards? John? about that. We're blessed to be around for this time. Don't squander it. Don't get in by the chinny chin chin, a little bit of fire. Get in there with some rewards. Huh? Yeah. So we need to be watchful. We need to be prepared. And by doing that, we trust in the Lord. Trust, 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 trust. That's like a constant theme. Just like the warning of watching, you need to trust. Because it's going to get really dicey out there. What are you trusting in at this moment? You really got to search your heart there. Search your inner man. Trusting him in all areas. Not 90% and then keep the 10% for yourself. You know? Trust you in these areas, but not this one. You know? And I'm guilty of this, folks. I do the same thing. We got to trust in his promises. That's why you have to read the word. And when you're doubting, you need to hone in on the promises of God. Right? They don't return void. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, how am I going to make it through? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? Trust in the Lord. How do I do this? With CBDCs, how does that work? What if they shut me off? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Amen? Amen, sister? Amen? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He has a path for all of us. And his promises are what? Yes and amen. So be it. Those promises don't mean you're not going to have tribulation. He said, in this world, that's one promise. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And that point ties back to the reality of the times. You will have tribulation. You will have hard times. Not best life now, right? Isaiah 26, verse 3 through 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. You don't grow weary. Everlasting strength. If you have faith, then you have trust. And that trust is a result of a relationship. The longer you're in a relationship, the more you can build it in trust, right? Yeah. That's the amazing thing about Christianity. That's the amazing thing about our faith. All other religions are about self-works. I heard all about it from Kumar. About how harnessing the energy and all that. And I said, no. Grace is what keeps me. It's God's grace. It's his empowering presence for me to do and be when I cannot do and be on my own. I'm not harnessing energy from the orbs. It's not of works. Our salvation is not of works. That's the awesome thing about it. You can't do it. We trust in him because he saved us. He made us in right relationship with God. Therefore, he made us sons and daughters of God. The Lord is our everlasting strength, right? So you could take that one to the bank. Yeah. Even when they don't take deposits, you can have your own bank. And that should give you a certain peace, right? A peace that, the one that the world can't understand. That peace, right? This church has been praying for Paul and Chrissy Pada, the one who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We saw them while we were down there on vacation. Paul lives in Rochester, New York. He's a pastor's son. And we got to spend a little time with them, but we spent the last night on the circle. And yeah, there's fear over what's going on in there, but there's also this peace that only I think a Christian could have with what she's facing. And that peace comes from the Lord. You know? And then she got to hear, and my mom shared a testimony with her. And then right there in the middle of the circle, we prayed over her. No inhibitions. But there's a peace that the Christian has in the time of trouble that passes all understanding. It's a perfect peace that the world can't give. It's that peace that passes all understanding because we're trusting in someone bigger than you and I. Amen? Amen. Right? We're trusting in Him. We're trusting in Him to get us through, to see us through this race of life and then for all eternity. Amen? Yeah. And I'm just kind of getting started here, but you know, some of you in here have experienced the thinning of the spiritual veil. And I know that, and you've shared some things that you've experienced going on. And I would tell you, it's certainly, the demonic activity is very real. It's very real today. It's very real. And that's why you need to be dressed for battle. It's not a moment of peace, peace, peace. Because we know what Scripture says, it's peace than a sudden destruction. But I truly believe you need to have your spiritual armor on. I told you the deception of the mind, that's what you helmet of salvation, right? But my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. No. My buddy Kumar again, yeah, he's flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling with him. I shared the truth with him. But really what's happened is he's deceived. He's been deceived by principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All the false religions Satan has orchestrated, he's got control over those. He's deceived the masses. Therefore, because of that, you take up the whole armor of God, that you can withstand him in the evil day. Resist the devil and he will flee. Ah, there it is. There it is. And having done all, stand. Stand. Gird your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful, 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 to the end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Amen? Yes. So dress yourselves daily, because if you don't, you're opening yourself up to be deceived. And the enemy wants a chance, right? How do lions, they stalk the herd and they look for the weak one. They look for the outsider, the one that's kind of floating. You hear what I'm saying? The outsider, there's the lion and the outsider that kind of, the Lord's saying, get back over here and you're kind of drifting. You're drifting. Did you untether from the anchor and you start drifting? Yeah. So if you know him personally, beloved, you live like you know him, right? Yes. Keep our oil filled, right? Like the five virgins. Engaging in his business, right? When the Lord talked about, what was that in Scripture? In Luke 19. The Lord talked about a nobleman who traveled from a far country to become king. The nobleman called 10 of his servants, gave them each a mina, or coin, and told them, engage in my business until I come back. And after an unspecified duration of time, the nobleman returned as king and summoned his servants to give an account of their faithfulness. The first two servants had been productive with what was entrusted to them, but another servant had done nothing, and he simply wrapped his mina in a cloth and hid it. His mistake was that he didn't act on what he professed to believe. Lord, Lord, haven't I done this? He professed something about his master, but didn't live by his profession, and he lost his reward. We need to be discerning, folks. We talked about deception, which is just another reminder, right? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived that no one deceives you. That warning of Scripture is consistent. Use discernment and listening. Listen, no one has it all figured out. I hear people talk about it all the time. John Holler makes a comment about that all the time. He says, as we see things closer, and then as we get to heaven, all the prophecy teachers are all going to have to change their maps and grids and all that stuff. You know, no one's got it all figured out. So be open to listening what the Spirit is speaking to you. It's okay to be wrong sometimes. Have a little humility, right? But test everything with Scripture. Test everything with Scripture. With AI and the media and all these things, it's really going to be hard, folks. I'm telling you, like the voiceovers and some of the fake, I've seen some of the fake videos that are propagated, and we're heading into like this political season too. I'm telling you, folks, deception is going to be rampant. It's just going to get worse. So test everything you can, because you can with this word of truth. And I really think you do need to have like hard copy Bibles. I love using apps on my phone, but I think we could come to a point where they start changing things on you, maybe online. I think having a hard piece of paper with you is important, okay? So accept the reality of the times in which we're living in, along with some uncertainties, right? We're heading towards the end, but it doesn't mean like it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen this week. But I do know, like, we look how fast things have changed, right, in the last year. Remember, like, that flattened the curve for 2 weeks, and then it ended up being a year long. Look at how much things have shifted in 3 years. I look at things like as my childhood and how much this world has changed. And yes, God gives us these moments, these portraits of grace. I had an awesome week with my family. Like I said, like these reprieves. Yes, you're still going to get those for the time being. So enjoy it. Enjoy the things that God has given you and blessed you with. But you do have to admit the reality of the times when you're looking at that. I'm not telling you to love that, but you have to understand that the times that we're seeing and are going to see, they happen. They have to happen, as Jesus said they would, okay? So encourage one another. Edify one another. Live as if today is the day, right? Because if we're not careful, the delay in the Lord's return can lead us to a state of complacency, and we don't want to be there. We want to live in the expectation that he could return today. It compels us to live every day for what really matters, eternal significance, right? That for the Lord himself, right? The rapture verse, Philippians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the clouds and meet him and the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know what it says right after that? Therefore, encourage one another with those words. Maybe you're on the mountaintop right now feeling pretty good. There's some others in here that are in the valley, folks. That's why we come together as a family, to encourage one another. Amen? And that's all the more reason why you have to be in church. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't be the manner of some. Don't be the manner of some that forsake the assembly. And don't use that excuse. I still remember to this day, I was driving down 75th Street with my wife, and I said COVID and the whole thing, the shutdown, all that stuff. This is the church itself is not going to recover from that. I don't mean like the church is going to be like go away, but what I mean is a lot of people won't be coming back to church as a result of it. It's gotten too easy, complacent. That's so when you see others, encourage them to get into church. Yes, I wasn't in church last week, so I realize people have lives and they're going to do things, they're going to go on family trip. But if you can be at church, you should be at church. Amen. Keep on doing kingdom work, right? Jesus said the gospel must be preached to all the nations. And what else did he say? Before he ascended into heaven, he gave the church its marching orders, and he said, you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in all of Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. You have the third part of the Godhead inside you. Power. Dunamis. Power. So he's coming back, folks. So you need to be ready. You need to be watchful, prepared, wicks trimmed, oil filled, being about our Father's business. Psalm 37:9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, those who wait, those who seek on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." They shall inherit the earth. Millennial reign and then the new one. The new one. You see, for many, normalcy bias, I'm going to the end here, so, you know, but for many, normalcy bias makes it exceedingly hard for many to entertain the reality of the Lord's return. But God's prophetic promises are not going to be delayed. They're not going to be delayed. His promises are not going to fail. His plan has a definite end, and the prophetic Sarah will not be some far distance off future, some like thousands of years away. It's here now, folks. And I'd rather be with the Lord, right? I'd rather be with the Lord and come back when things are right, standing, right? Forever. But till then, you and I are here, right? And we were born for such a time as this, so we need to be occupying and redeeming the time that he has given us for his kingdom, for his glory, because the perilous times are here. And because perilous times are here, the last thing is don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Psalm 33:20, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Remember that shield? Quench the fiery darts. He's our shield. And I think about Chrissy again, you know, with what she's going on. And you know, it's within our human nature really to react to what's happening around us. It's true. And it's a certain reality that we're all being affected on an individual level, not just by the world itself, but we're being impacted by the daily stresses of our lives. For all you parents out there, to provide for your family, business owners, figuring things out, healthcare of our loved ones, the struggles of daily living, the toiling since the curse. That he came back, right? He told Adam, you're gonna have thorns and thistles will be. And we experience loss in this life. We experience suffering. And when extreme trials and that pressing on all sides, folks, I understand that. And he understands it even better. But when things go sideways, our emotions and our feelings can rise up inside us. And they can often take control. And that's the part you got to resist that. Because it can be the dominant factor that drives you. And you don't want to be in a place of emotion making decisions. And it can rob you of your hope. It's normal to have feelings. It's normal to respond to those feelings. But Jesus made it clear to live by faith, not by feelings. So as we live out our days, as we see the chaos, right, the destruction, darkness, those things that are coming, we need to remember that we need him. He's the vine, right? You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me, without that power, yield to the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, right? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? That's a go-to verse for the kids. My son, this past week, swam without his swim wings on. So, like, pretty awesome. So, and it wasn't me, you know, but he would get on the edge, and then he'd be like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm like, you can do this. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Saying those things to him, encouraging him. And then, you know, mommy just sat there in the patience and loving him. And all of a sudden, it clicked. And he's like, I love the water, you know. So a boy who nearly drowned, at 2 who saw an angel under the water, that, and he was telling people that at the pool, but overcame that fear, right? And was swimming, and it was awesome to see. And it's just a reminder, even for a little one, a 5-year-old, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no mountain too high. Faith of a mustard seed, folks, right? The enemy will tell you no. The enemy's going to tell you no. You can't. Yes, I can, because of the I am. Okay? So no matter, listen, as we close here, no matter what goes on in this world, no matter what evil ensues, we are told we can have peace and calm in his presence. No matter who sits in government, we can have assurance knowing what? That God sits on the throne, right? No matter how much your personal life can result in toil and despair, no matter if you lost it all like Job, right? No matter how dim things seem to be or how dark things get in this world, we can know with certainty in our hearts that the Son of God, Jesus, still shines, he still reigns, and there is a future that is bright in him. So be watching for his glorious return. Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God, that empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking, watching for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify him for himself, his own special people. That's you guys. That's me. His own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Occupy, redeem the time, share the truth. I don't feel like it today. Lord, change my spirit. Change my attitude. Give me an opportunity today. Amen?
Amen.
You got an opportunity. You got a vacation coming up with family. You're kind of a majority. You got Rosie there too. You're going to go see your family in a month. What a testimony. Yes. I my remuck, and it's real. He's worthy of it all. I know how that song moves on you. I know it. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. You can make a difference. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, oh, you are faithful. Your word does not return void. And someone, everybody here, I know they walked away with something that the Spirit was speaking to them on. And I praise you, Lord. You're faithful. Now, be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Give us the opportunities to proclaim your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.